Chapter 8. Author's note, this chapter has a trigger warning for sexual assault. Tom isn't thrilled to be bringing Styles with him to the Argent house, but it's too crazy to leave him at home. He's keenly aware that there are a lot of different things that could have happened. Derek could have been captured by Peter, who still wants his help. He could have been captured or even killed by Kate Argent. Either way, Styles is too vulnerable to leave at home by himself, and as of now, there's nobody Tom trusts enough to stay with him. But he tells him to stay in the cruiser, and Styles is subdued enough that he thinks he'll actually obey. Chris Argent looks about as happy to see Tom as he ever is, and greets him with, "Kate's not here." "Where is she?" Tom asks. He half expects Chris to give him some bullshit about not having to answer any questions, but instead he says, "I don't know. I told her I couldn't let her stay here anymore after a disagreement that we had." Was this disagreement over what happened to the Hale family? Chris stares Tom down for a long moment, but then nods. "As well as certain comments she made about introducing my daughter to the family business, yes." "Well, I need to find her," Tom says. "I have a feeling she's holding someone against his will, and I find that unacceptable." "I don't know what you expect me to do about that." Tom considers this. He considers it for what feels like a long time, while he struggles with his temper. "Have you figured out who the Alpha is?" Chris nods. "Wasn't hard, after Peter Hale disappeared from the hospital." "Good. So you know that he's not going to rest until he sees your sister dead. Now, we could have a very long conversation about exactly who is in the right here, but I'm not interested. I'm not in the business of playing judge, jury, and executioner. I want Kate arrested, charged, and convicted for her crimes. I want her sentenced to prison. And so do you. Because you may have your faults, but you know what Kate did was wrong. I assume that since she's your sister, you would prefer to avoid her being killed. So it would be in your best interest to tell me where she is so I can arrest her. Because let me assure you of this, Mr. Argent, jail is the only place where Kate is going to be safe from Peter." Chris lets out a slow breath. "A couple of my guys helped her get some things set up the other day. Let me ask them where she was." "I'll wait." For a moment, it looks like Chris might protest just on general principle, but then he pulls out his phone and taps a few buttons. "Hey, it's me. That stuff I had you move for Kate, where did she have you take it?" A strange expression crosses his face. "Seriously?" "No, that's it. Thanks." He hangs up and says, with a tight expression, "She's set up in the Hale House ruins. There's a basement there that she moved all her stuff into." "Of course she did," Tom says. "Why not rub salt in the wound?" He gives Chris a narrow-eyed look. "Now, you wouldn't call her and tell her we're on our way, would you?" "No," Chris looks away. "You're right. Jail is the safest place for her." "Great." Tom heads back to the car. Styles is still in the passenger seat, although he's practically losing his mind from having to wait. Tom gives him a brief description of what's happened so far and starts driving. He thinks things over on the way. He wants to call for backup, but he can't. He doesn't know what sort of shape Derek is going to be in, doesn't know whether or not anyone who sees him will be able to tell that he's a werewolf. He wants his deputies out of this. That leaves him with options he doesn't like very much, but by the time he makes it out to the road that leads to the Hale House, he's made up his mind. He parks about a quarter mile away and gestures for Styles to get out of the car. Even Styles is somewhat taken aback by this. "You don't want me to wait here?" "No, not with Peter Hale and Kate Argent out there." Tom opens the trunk and takes out a bulletproof vest. "Put this on." "Holy shit, yes!" Styles says, putting the vest on. Tom adjusts the straps, tightening it until it basically fits. "Now take this." Tom hands him a taser. "Listen to me. You are my backup. This means several things. You are responsible for watching my back. You will stay on the perimeter and make sure nobody sneaks up on me. It also means you will not come into the room unless I call for you. Can you promise me that? Yes, sir. Styles is excited, but visibly containing himself, which Tom figures isn't bad, considering the circumstances. If you are shot, you will play dead, Tom says. Do not give anyone a reason to come over and make sure the job is finished. Am I clear? Yes, sir. If Peter shows up, let me handle him. That taser is for self-defense only. Clear? Yes, sir. Good. Let's go. Tom checks his gun and then starts down the road. Styles jogs after him and amazingly manages not to fall flat on his face. Tom puts one finger over his lips to remind Styles to be quiet as the Hale House comes into view. He winces a little as the front porch creaks under his feet. It takes a few moments to find the stairs that lead down to the basement. He points to a spot right by the door, gesturing for Styles to stay there, and Styles nods, his hands gripping the taser a little tighter. Tom has some misgivings, but there's no time for them now. He heads down the stairs as quietly as he can. Derek is on the far side of the room, his hands chained above him, with some sort of electrical shocking device hooked up to his abdomen. The sight of him sends an intense wave of relief through Tom. He clearly hasn't had the best time of things, but he's alive, conscious, and still has all his limbs. His eyes go a little wide when he sees Tom. Kate is standing by a table full of equipment that's going to give Tom nightmares. That's a lot of guilt to keep buried, she's saying as Tom comes down the steps. It's not all your fault. You got tricked by a pretty face. It happens. Handsome young werewolf mistakenly falls in love with a super hot girl who comes from a family that kills werewolves. Is that? A creaky step gives him away. Kate starts to turn, and Tom has his gun up before she can get all the way around. Freeze, he barks, and she continues turning, but doesn't lift a weapon. Put your hands on your head. Oh, man, Kate laughs. It's the kind of laugh he's heard teenagers give when they're caught at make-out point, embarrassed, but not nervous. She does raise her hands, putting them on her head. You scare the living Christ out of me. Derek, you okay? Tom asks, not looking away from Kate. Yeah, Derek says, a little hoarse. Officer, this is a huge misunderstanding, Kate says, still smiling. I mean, I know what it looks like. I really do. But, you know, what two consenting adults do in privacy? She lowers her voice a little. Can't blame me for indulging him, can you? Tom lifts his eyebrows at her. You're seriously going to stand there and tell me that he's into getting tortured in the basement of the house his family burned to death in? That's a creative defense, I'll give you that. It's weird, I know, Kate laughs, but it's true. Come on, Derek, tell the nice police officer that you're enjoying yourself. Derek takes a deep breath, his jaw set in an attempt to mask the pain Tom knows he's in. Get this shit off me. Babe, come on, Kate says. Give me a sec, Derek. Tom gestures with his gun. Miss Argent, put your hands on the table, where I can see them. Kate gives him a more interested look, now that she's realized that Tom knows who she is, and isn't just some random police officer who wandered in. You're the sheriff that Chris told me about. Thinks he's got it all figured out. Just most of it. Where are the keys to those cuffs? In my pocket. Get them out, slowly. Kate does as she's told, drawing the keys out of her pocket slowly and then holding them in front of herself. Tom doesn't move any closer to her. He can see her next move a mile away. Toss them onto the table there, he says, and she does, her mouth pursing with irritation. Good. Now put your hands against the wall. I don't consent to a search, Kate says. Tell you what, afterwards I'll buy you a dictionary and you can look up the definition of probable cause. Tom tucks his gun back into his holster and frisks her quickly, removing two handguns and a knife. Then he pulls her arms around her back, securing them in handcuffs. He glances back at Derek, taking a moment to think things over. He doesn't trust Kate any further than he can throw her. Peter is so cautious of her that Tom feels it would be better not to underestimate her, and that means he can't let her go, even cuffed. Okay, Stiles, you can come in now. Stiles comes barreling down the stairs so fast that he nearly hits the opposite wall. His eyes go a little wide when he sees Derek, who looks down and away. Oh, jeez, he says, and starts gingerly peeling the tape, holding the electrodes to Derek's side away. Keys on the table there, Tom says, gesturing. Sorry if this hurts, Stiles says, wincing as he works on the tape. It's fine, Derek mutters. Pretty much 500%. Not fine, but there it goes. Stiles gets the last of the tape off and grabs the keys, reaching above his head to get the cuffs off. His face is flushed pink, and he keeps giving Derek sidelong glances. Tom is thinking he might have to say something about that, find a tactful way to ask his son to please not ogle Derek after everything else that's happened today. But then Stiles shrugs out of his long-sleeved plaid shirt and thrusts it in Derek's direction. Here, you can... Derek snatches the shirt and pulls it on immediately, not buttoning it, but instead pulling it tightly across his abdomen, folding his arms to keep it in place. Thanks, he mumbles. It only barely fits, looking like Derek's biceps are going to split the seams, but he's clearly glad to have it. Seeing the look on Derek's face, the relief at being covered again, sends so much rage through Tom that for a minute he thinks Peter is trying to control him again. But no, this rage is entirely his own. He takes a deep breath to calm himself. Okay, here's what we're going to do. Derek, I'm going to need a statement from you at some point, but I don't need it now. I'm going to take Kate to the station. I don't want either of you riding in the back with her. Derek, can you walk Stiles home? We can't leave you alone with her, Stiles protests. Stiles, she's in handcuffs. I've taken all her weapons, and once we get her into the car, there will be a wall of plexiglass between the two of us. I'm going to be fine, and I want you, both of you, as far away from her as possible. Okay? Derek nods, still hugging himself. Yeah. There's pot roast, Stiles offers. Derek tries to smile. Kate has gone quiet, either because she knows better than to say anything that could be used against her in court, or because she's plotting an escape. Tom doesn't know which, and frankly doesn't care. He herds her up the stairs and into the back of the car. Save some of that pot roast for me, he says, giving Stiles' hair an affectionate rub before he gets into the driver's seat. The drive to the sheriff's station passes in silence. Kate looks more annoyed than anything else. Tom gets her inside and hands her off to one of the deputies for processing. Search her carefully. She could have hidden weapons, he says, and put her in holding. No interrogation? Sandy, his administrative assistant, asks as she hands him the paperwork. Not now. Stiles made pot roast, he says, and Sandy laughs. I want to let her sweat it out for a bit before I talk to her. She'll keep until morning. He settles down to fill out the forms, which takes about 15 minutes, and then he heads outside. But he doesn't go straight home. He goes to the nurse's house again. Just give me Peter's number, will you? He asks, and she huffs at him, but does so. He dials, and Peter picks up on the first ring. We need to talk. Meet me at the high school parking lot in 10 minutes. Sir, yes, sir, Peter says, amused. Tom gets there first and glances around to confirm that, yes, there are indeed no cameras. He doesn't know how Peter lured Garrett Myers here, and frankly, he doesn't want to know. He just wants to be sure that this conversation won't be overheard. You look like hell, Peter greets him. Bad day. I arrested Kate Argent. Peter's expression sours. Why do you insist on making my life difficult, Tom? Tom just gives him a look. After a period of soul-searching that I'm sure you don't care about, I've decided not to bring charges. I'm going to hold her for the allowed 24 hours and then release her. All right, Peter says, giving him an expectant look. Tom checks his watch. What this means to you is that at 8:30 tomorrow, Kate Argent is going to be escorted from the premises of the sheriff's station. They'll take her out the side door on the west into the parking lot. She will have no weapons, and after the police station door shuts behind her, she will be alone. He continues giving Peter the same look. Am I coming through here? Loud and clear. A little smile curves Peter's mouth. I thought you weren't going to help me. This is as far as I go. I need you to understand that. More than far enough, Peter says. But what changed your mind, if you don't mind my asking? Maybe someday I'll tell you, Tom says, and gets back into the car. Before he's turned it on, Peter has vanished into the forest. He shakes his head and starts home. Stiles has a lot of mixed feelings as he unlocks the back door to let himself and Derek into the house. Their walk has been mostly silent. He hates the quiet, but he just doesn't know what to say. As he opens the door, he says, right, so pot roast. I want to shower, Derek interrupts, his voice abrupt. Oh, yeah, sure, feel free. You want me to make you some tea or something? Derek is already halfway up the stairs, but he hesitates, and then says in a subdued tone, yeah, tea would be nice. He starts walking again. A few seconds later, the bathroom door shuts, and the water turns on. Since Derek clearly hadn't taken the time to grab himself any clothes, Stiles puts the kettle on and then jogs upstairs. He grabs a pair of sweatpants and a t-shirt out of his father's closet, along with a towel. He cracks the bathroom door open. I'm just going to leave some clothes for you on the counter, okay? Okay, Derek says after a moment. Stiles sets the clothes down and then heads back downstairs. He looks through the tea collection he's gathered and thinks with a sigh about his father's commentary about Lydia Martin. It is the same behavior. He spent most of junior high trying to give Lydia candy or flowers or anything he thought might get him a chance with her. For her birthday the previous year, he had bought her a full set of DVDs of Mythbusters, all for someone who probably didn't even know his name. He'd known Derek fewer than 3 days before he had ordered $40 worth of tea off the internet. At least he has it now. He's sure that Derek could use some comfort food. He takes a glance at the pot roast, which has still been in the crock pot, and supposes he ought to put it away. It's not like anyone's going to be eating it. It's past 8 at this point, so he goes with green tea, jasmine, which he himself has taken a great liking to. He can't get his mind off what Kate had said in the basement, what Derek had said about the fire being his fault. He can't imagine how Derek feels, and he doesn't know what to say, which is why as soon as Derek reappears, he starts babbling like an idiot. Hey, I made you some tea. It's jasmine, because it's getting pretty late, you know. Are you hungry? I was thinking I might just put the pot roast in the fridge and make us some sandwiches, but you don't have to be hungry. I mean, you would know better than I would. So just let me know and I'll stop talking is what I'll do, because I'm a moron and my rambling is probably the last thing you want to hear right now. No, Derek says, looking up. Don't stop talking. When it's quiet, I keep hearing her voice. Stiles blinks at him, then clears his throat and says, right, so pot roast? Okay. Stiles gets a couple of plates out of the cupboard and starts dishing up the food. I seriously don't know how I got along before I had a slow cooker. These things are amazing. I mean, you can make anything in them. I've got this great recipe for chicken tortilla soup. I should make that for you. And chili. Crockpots make the best chili. Plus, you can make some really good desserts in them. I've got this apple crumble recipe, but that's more of a fall thing. How did you find me? Derek asks abruptly. Stiles wrenches his mind around the sudden shift in conversation. I'm not 100% sure, actually. I think my dad threatened to remove Chris Argent's spleen through his nose until he coughed up Kate's hideout. No, I mean... Derek looks down at his potatoes. How did you even know I was missing? You weren't here for dinner, didn't answer your phone. Stiles shrugs. Seemed like something had probably gone wrong. But I... Derek can't seem to finish the sentence. I didn't think... You thought no one was going to come for you. Stiles finishes for him. He reaches out and puts a hand on Derek's forearm, giving it a squeeze that he hopes is comforting. Look, I know I can't understand what you're going through, and I know there's, like, a lot to unpack here, but you're not alone, okay? You've got me and my dad looking out for you, no matter what happens. Derek nods. He takes in and then lets out a shuddering breath. Then he takes a bite of the potatoes. He stops. Oh my god, those are good. Told you, didn't I? Stiles grins at him. My mom's gravy recipe. Handed down through the generations. It's some good stuff. Yeah, it is. Derek digs in with more appetite, and Stiles starts eating, too. Tom gets home about 15 minutes later, and Stiles jumps up to get him a plate. Derek looks up, and then back down, several times, before he says, What's going to happen to Kate? Tom stops with a fork full of carrots halfway to his mouth. After a moment, he says evenly, She's going to be released tomorrow. I call Peter. He knows when. Stiles feels his stomach lurch, more out of shock than anything else. Oh my god, he blurts out. Derek looks surprised, too. Why? I mean, what changed your mind? I can't prove that Kate was behind the fire, Tom says. I've got a lot of circumstantial evidence that's true, but it's not enough. If you could testify against her... Every muscle in Derek's body tenses up. But I'm not going to put you through that, Tom says. Kate's hurt you enough. She's never going to hurt you again. And if the only way I can accomplish that is quietly looking the other way while Peter deals with her, then that's something I think I can be okay with. Thank you, Derek says, his voice hoarse. Stiles, take a walk, Tom says. Stiles opens his mouth to protest, then sees the way Derek is crumbling. He nods and quietly leaves the room. He doesn't go far, though. He's not a saint. Listen, Derek, Tom says, once Stiles is gone. I know you probably don't want to talk, and that's okay. I won't make you. But there are a few things I need to say, and I just want you to listen. What happened to your family was not your fault. The fact that Kate lied to you and used you was not your fault. And I don't just mean because you were too young to know better. Kate is the one who lied. She is the one who hurt people. And that is not on you. I know you might not believe me, and that's okay too. I just want you to think about that, and I want you to know that even if you blame yourself, I don't blame you. And as someone who knew your parents, I can say with 100% certainty that they wouldn't blame you either. Okay? Okay, Derek says. Stiles doesn't hear anything for a long minute, so he risks a peek back into the room to see that Tom has pulled him into an embrace, that Derek has his face pressed into Tom's shoulder. He quietly creeps back out of the room. Suddenly, he doesn't feel so bad about all the tea he bought.